Nebraska Court of Appeals is now in session. May all who come here be heard. Truth and justice be served by what we do here.
Thank you. Please be seated. I want to welcome you all to the June session of the Nebraska Court of Appeals, the afternoon panel. My name is David Arterburn. I am pleased to be joined today on my left by Judge Francie Reedman and on my right by Judge Frankie Moore. We have five cases before the court this afternoon. I would ask that as you make your arguments, if there is any sensitive or confidential information, that you keep that in mind because we are live streaming these arguments. So if there's something you don't want the general public to hear, don't say it. We will take the cases, I believe, in the order that they were listed. When you come forward, I will announce the case right before the appellant makes their argument. I will announce it again for purposes of the live feed. So the first case on the docket today is Esch versus Esch. Council may come forward. And counsel for the appellant may approach the podium. And again, this is Esch versus Esch. And Ms. Maloney, you may proceed.
I would like to reserve any remaining time for rebuttal, Your Honor. May it please the court, I represent the plaintiff in this matter, a modification of custody proceeding, Jacqueline Esch, who is also present here today. This case is about two minor children that didn't like their mother's discipline, who then sought refuge and were given refuge at their father's house, and about an ex-husband who despises his former wife to such an extent that both the short-term and long-term welfare of his own children has been sacrificed. This is a case about parental alienation and estrangement. The parties stipulated to a decree in May of 2019. They stipulated to joint legal custody and an equal parenting time schedule of their three minor children. Their regular parenting time was two overnights with the mother, two overnights with the father, and alternating the long weekends. They also stipulated to gross monthly incomes to be used in the child support calculation worksheet. In, 10 months following that stipulation, the party's oldest boy, in defiance of his mother's discipline and an ensuing tantrum in which he sought and was given refuge at his father's house, his father declared to the children's mother that he was simply keeping that child and that he was going to be living with him from then on. The father then in March of 2020 filed his initial modification complaint. He amended that in June of 2020 based on the party's daughter seeing a gun at her mother's house when she rifled through the possessions of her mother's boyfriend, and then sending a picture of that to the children's father, who used it as a pretext to withhold any parenting time of the younger two minor children from their mother. There are two matters of note for the court. Number one, the oldest boy reached age of majority in February of this year. And number two, there was a previous appeal at A-20-740. An opinion was issued in April of 2021. That appeal concerned three contempts that the children's mother had filed against the children's father. Unfortunately, after that time, the children's father persisted in his pattern of alienating the children from their mother and added to that alienating the children from their maternal relatives as well. The parents were successfully co-parenting up until January of 2020 when the oldest boy threw his tantrum. At that point, the children's father simply stopped following the court's orders. The children's father claimed that the two older children's relationship with their mother had deteriorated, quote unquote.
Is that a finding that the trial court then made in this modification action?
It did. And with respect to that, the children's father used that word a lot, but if you look at the record, he never really articulated the specifics of what he meant by that term. He also claims that he has not prevented, quote unquote, the children from having contact with their mother, which essentially means, and he used that word a lot too, essentially he means by that he left it up to the children for the most part to determine whether they chose to have any contact with their mother or not. He also did what I refer to as a kind of wink, wink, nod, nod situation. He says he told the children they needed to have a relationship with their mother, have contact, and spend time mm-hmm. with her. But in the following breath, he would tell them that he couldn't force them to do that, and he wasn't going to make them do that.
Counsel, weren't a lot of those issues presented in the contempt actions and then resolved by this court on appeal, finding that he was not in contempt for
finding
those?
Finding that he was not in contempt, but there's a different legal standard when you're looking at a contempt versus a child custody modification.
Right. Would you agree in the modification action that there has been a material change in circumstances since the entry of the decree?
Absolutely, especially with regard to the father's ongoing efforts to alienate the children. Things that the father has and hasn't done, like not doing follow-up care for the younger boy when he broke his leg, follow-up medical care, not continuing therapy, which abruptly stops for the party's daughter after she moves in with her father. So we're looking at basically the legal standard being what's in the children's best interest. And it seems like it would be common sense that unless a parent's neglectful or abusive, that parent should have a relationship with their children, and that the children likewise should benefit from the guidance and companionship of their parent. The law in Nebraska is that whether there's parent-child contact is not dependent and does not devolve to the children choosing whether they should have contact or not. And essentially here, that's what the father did with the older two minor children. The younger one, he simply kept for a period of 5 months, mm-hmm. and then at trial abandoned his request for custody of that child, sole custody of that child, and inexplicably returned him to the mother that even at the time of trial, he was saying he considered her unfit, even though he had never pled that. I think the children's mother summed up by a couple of her statements during testimony, the attitude of the children's father in this case. Ryan hates my guts. And then she said this, I think it's in the children's best interest to have two parents who work together. Mm-hmm. I've always been willing to work together. Once again, it's not about me versus Ryan. It's about raising healthy, well-adjusted children. And I've suggested that we sit together at baseball games, mm-hmm. and the kids laugh and think that's a joke. I mean, I would. We sat by each other at graduation because they were assigned seats. I have absolutely no problem doing that. However, Ryan comes to sporting events and will sit on the visiting team side just so he doesn't have to be in my vicinity. So it really sends a message to the children.
Counsel, so this is all testimony that the trial court heard.
Yes.
And so you probably can anticipate my next question is, you know, if it comes down to the credibility determination between the parties in making the best interest finding, doesn't our standard of review allow us to defer to the trial court on those findings?
The standard actually says that you may defer. It does not require such deference. Nebraska law also provides or imposes a duty on parents that live in separate households to encourage and foster the children's relationship with the other parent. The behavior of the children's father has been the antithesis of that concept.
By the time of trial, do I understand correctly, though, that the relationship and the time spent between the mother and the daughter was improving and increasing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. At the time of trial, I think the testimony was by the children's mother that they even had a trip planned to go to Orlando. They were getting their nails done mm-hmm. together. They were going shopping together again. We've also got, with respect to that child, the father who engaged in an incident of domestic violence with his then-living girlfriend, now former girlfriend, where he asked his daughter to actually film that incident. I don't know, I just find that appalling. This is the man that the trial court chose to put in charge of the welfare of the older two children. He's also shown a lack of interest in involving himself in therapy or supporting the children's therapy or even supporting the therapy that he stipulated to in the original divorce decree. And it's ironic because the basis that he states in his amended complaint to modify for his request to have sole custody of the children is this supposed deteriorating relationships between the two elder children and their mother. He claims, well, different things at different times. He says a lot of things about supporting therapy, but you have to look at what he actually did. He refused to pay co-pays. He wouldn't let the children go to therapy on his parenting time. He basically sabotaged the therapy that was supposed to be taking place per the decree And they came in and said, well, the relationships are deteriorating and things are getting worse. And then the daughter's therapy stops the minute she goes to live with her father. He can't name the therapist. His testimony showed that. And he had no idea immediately prior to the trial that the therapists were recommending moving from individual therapy into family therapy. There's nothing about the children's mother or her home that is in any way inappropriate for the children. In certain instances, she's taken more interest in them than their father has. She's taken interest in their education. She's taken interest in their ongoing medical care. She attended, even though the older boy and she were having a strained relationship, she attended his college orientation. The father's shown that he's willing to let the kids defy the mother and do nothing about it. And it's not in these children's best interest to be with a person of the character and attitude and types of incidents that I won't detail here that are related in the brief. There's an abnormal relationship between him and the daughter. He puts her in the position of being a parent rather than the child. And if joint custody had to be severed, you don't put a parent with so many bad character attributes and bad attitude in the position of power. That's just going to make the situation worse, especially when there's not going to be any ongoing therapy for the children. The other thing I'd like to mention
But there is therapy ordered between the mother and the daughter.
8 sessions.
A minimum of 8 sessions.
Minimum.
A minimum of 8 sessions. And we had therapy ordered in the original decree, and the father right off the bat wasn't abiding by that order either. This man has a serious issue with respect for legal authority and respect basically based on some of the other things in the record, any authority. And it's not in these children's best interest to be weaned away from a relationship with their mother or weaned away from a relationship with their maternal relatives. And that's where the situation is sitting now with the child, especially the party's daughter continuing to reside with this man.
Okay, thank you, counsel. Are there any other questions? All right, thank you, Ms. Maloney. Mr. Vicani.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Christopher Vicanti, and I am here to represent Ryan Ash, who is the appellee in this case. I think it probably comes without question that we disagree with many of the facts that counsel just represented to the court here this afternoon. Judge Otepka heard this case for a trial that lasted 2 days. In addition to that trial, there were 4 contempt actions that were filed against Mr. Ash, all of which resulted in trials over multiple days, one of which ultimately came to this court through an appeal, which was eventually affirmed. It is our opinion there's no abuse of discretion in this case. Judge Otepka had plenty of information and made, in our opinion, the appropriate decision. He found that there was a material change of circumstances and then determined what he believed was in the best interest of the children by awarding Mr. Ash legal and physical custody.
Is it appropriate for a parent to allow the decision to be the children's as to whether or not they're going to abide by a court order?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Do you disagree that that's what he was doing here?
Well, I do disagree. I think what happened is he encouraged the children to go see their mother. He made the children available. There's plenty of evidence within the record where he did take the children over to the mother's house. And as the court knows, having, I'm sure, read the transcript, the Bill of Exceptions, there were some pretty serious allegations about the type of behavior that the mother demonstrated in front of the children, the way she treated them. There was an incident with the gun, which resulted in many of the contempt actions being filed, and ultimately the court determining that Mr. Ash was doing what was right for the children. So I absolutely agree, though, that the tail doesn't wag the dog. The dog gets to wag the tail, you know, in that sense, and so the children should not have the ultimate authority there. Just like they shouldn't decide whether they're going to be in a mother's custody or a father's custody, but they certainly, in this case, were at an age where they could be influential and give the court information about what was best for them. Again, Judge Otepka heard evidence from both children, the older two children, not certainly the youngest one, Logan, and based on all that evidence, believed that he was making a decision that was best for those kids.
And did the court make a specific finding that both parents were fit parents in this case?
Yes, the judge did. Yes. And I do want to point out one clarification. The divorce decree itself, the issue of legal custody was stipulated, but the issue of physical custody was actually tried to the court. And so I do think that's an important distinction here, and I'm not sure that that has been mentioned. And I'm not sure we even mentioned that in our brief, but I do want to point that out to the court. I also want to point out that these children, while counsel wants to suggest that my client has not done a good job in raising these kids and keeping them away from their mother, the children excelled while in his care. Judge Otepka noted that. Daughter, Kirsten, had three jobs. She was a straight-A student. She had never been in trouble with the law. She really excelled when she was in her father's care. And Gavin, who was the oldest son, graduated from high school, had a 31 on his ACT, was going off to college. And so these kids didn't go downhill when they were in his care. They actually, they succeeded in a very good way while in their father's care. Ultimately, we believe that the court made the right decision. We believe that the children are thriving, and believe that there's no abuse of discretion, and that the court made the appropriate decision after hearing a lot of evidence, multiple trials, multiple hearings, and ultimately Judge Otepka made the call.
Mr. Vercani, what about the incident that Ms. Maloney alluded to with regard to the domestic violence?
Sure. There was testimony from Mr. Esch's former girlfriend. Mr. Esch testified, and there was an incident between the two of them. It would fall under the category of domestic violence. It was a one-time incident. It was a two-way street in which both parties were arguing with each other, and ultimately Judge Otepka determined that incident fell under the qualifications of domestic violence, where he needed to make a specific finding. And he did. He made a specific finding that no further efforts or no further provisions were necessary in order to secure the safety of the children while in the care of their father. So he did address that issue.
Perhaps with regard to the evidence that he asked Kirsten to videotape the incident, how does that weigh in terms of the custody decision?
That was in dispute. Kirsten was actually there at the time of the incident. And ultimately, I believe the testimony was that Mr. Esch wanted a witness there to see what was going on because his former girlfriend was trying to remove property from the house. So it just depends on how you want to characterize that. Kirsten was certainly there. Kids these days have cell phones, and if she pulled out the phone and recorded on her own, you know, I don't see a problem with that.
And as I recall, didn't the former girlfriend testify favorably about Mr. Esch's parenting?
She did. She did. And again, that's his former girlfriend, which would have no motivation to testify favorably toward him. But she represented to the court that he was a good father and did a good job in parenting the kids. If nothing else, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Mr. Vercani. And I believe Ms. Maloney used all of her time. All right. The case will be taken under submission then at this time. Thank you for your arguments, counsel, and you are excused.